Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 387. Terry Miller, the disc golf guy here, next to Johnny V.
Yeah, you know what else you're next to, Terry?
I could think of a lot of things.
No, and over above your upper right shoulder, we finally hung up the studio audience.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, people can see.
That's creepy. They're all looking at me.
They are looking at you. For those of you that don't, there it is. You can see kind of the overlay. It's hung up in the new studio. Finally, we were able to kind of clear out some spots. I reached out to DD today because there's four or five studio minis that we still need to get. Unfortunately, they're all out of minis and they don't know when they're getting them in stock. So we are still waiting on four or five of them. As soon as they get in stock, we will order them and get them printed up, because I reached out to them today and they're like, nope, sorry, still the website said
seems
we had
like your
some
mic's
in.
Off I'm gonna interrupt you. Everyone else is saying that you are quiet. I thought you were just giving them a special treat.
Maybe, but my side.
I don't know. Everybody is saying that they can't hear you. Oh. Question is, can
they? and that's why they can hear me now. I must have bumped the master button.
It's all right. It's all right. It's our first show.
It's just, you know, it's just 381. One. It's 1-3-1. Anyway, the DD is out of minis right now. Okay. When they do get some in, we'll get some more ordered, but for now it is what it is, and we're just gonna have to wait. But we do have a lot of space on the board, so if you're interested, patreon.com/smashboxtv at the $5 level. I know I need to get an email out to Elizabeth Borgman, I believe is our good friend out there out of the Kansas City area. She has a mini that's gonna be coming her way as well, so hopefully maybe she can drive over to DD and print it herself.
Yeah, get on it. We'll make you do the work. All right. Well, again, thank you everyone for joining us. This is 387. Johnny was just talking about our mini studio audience. So thank you guys so much for the support at any level at Patreon. But as he said, if you're a mini sponsor, you're getting one for yourself. And then we put one up on the wall and you're right here with us, as hundreds of you are week in and week out.
Oh, we got a lot of wall space. We could do this whole thing over here. I mean, we got room, folks.
We appreciate it. Yeah. So tonight, We're going to be talking a little bit of contract action. We've seen a number of pros make some new announcements with regard to their contracts and getting set up for the 2022 season. Of course, notably one of them being Katrina Allen, who I'm going to call it a unique turn of events, announced on Monday that she's going to announce on Wednesday.
Do we feel that's intentional?
I mean, if she's got beef with the Smashbox crew, she can bring it. I've got plenty of beef. Oh. They asked in the 80s, where's the beef? I've got plenty.
Terry kept it. From the 80s until now, he's still hoarding.
No. Maybe she's scared to come join us. Maybe there's a few sponsor obligations and things that need to get squared away. Either way,
I wouldn't be shocked if it were sponsor obligations.
Either way, pre-congratulations. Should we tell everybody where she's going?
I don't think that would be a very nice thing to do.
Well, what we will do is we're going to give you all the news, all the updates, all the information from one of our most famous and friendly Florida natives.
One of the geese?
Honk, honk. Coming in hot, Madison Walker. Hi, Mads.
Hi. How are you doing?
Oh, we're awesome. Good. We're very happy that you're on the show. Thanks for joining us. You declined.
It's been so long.
It has. And you declined the opportunity to open the show. We were doing some pre-show prep, and we said, you can open
actually,
the show.
Actually, I did not decline it. I just went to go grab these so I could do both characters.
Oh, I wish I didn't realize.
Wow. Wow.
And then I came back, and y'all were just already doing my job. So.
Wow. All right. Well, another night, we'll have to have you open the show. I don't think we've had anyone else do that, so seems like something we could have you fill in for. Mads, I'm going to start with just something from a couple days ago and a couple weeks ago. I saw you playing down at the Jubilee, an event how many times have you won that? We kept saying that you did, but I didn't know. Two, three times?
Lord, honestly, I don't know. I think that's about right.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I think two or three.
Okay.
That's right.
So we saw you playing some golf a few weeks ago, but at that time, to really throw off all of the announcements and the commentary from then versus today, even, you've announced a new sponsor and a new partnership. So let's get into that. Who's frisbees you throwing around?
I get to throw MVP and Streamline and Axiom, but MVP is my primary sponsor, and I am so excited.
You're one of them gyro heads now, huh?
I am.
You've been called a lot of things. Is gyro head one that you thought was coming?
I did not see that coming at all. The people, the like MVP community they've all reached out, and they're like, they say things, you know, like, oh, you fit right in, and it seems like you've been here all along and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, I honestly feel the same way. So I'm glad that we're on the same page. It's so brings a single tear.
Wow. So let's get to a couple of those specifics, though. As you just said, what exactly can you throw? How do they arrange that? Are there different people on the team that have slightly different arrangements with what can or can't be thrown?
I think so, but I'm not 100%. I'm allowed to throw all three, but I'm going to try to do a majority of the gyro MVP stuff. But okay, there's some of the molds in Streamline and Axiom that I just can't avoid. They're too good.
Sometimes when we see a player move to a new sponsor, I was going to say MVP is a smaller company, but they're really not. Sometimes they have a hard time finding not only all the replacement molds, but enough molds to choose from. It doesn't seem like that would be the case in terms of the variety that you have in front of you. Is it too much? Is it overwhelming almost?
Yeah, I think it's always overwhelming switching companies, especially when there's three different kinds, especially because I didn't know any of the plastics either. I knew a little bit about other companies just from almost being sponsored by them in the past, but MVP was such a small company. It's not something and they grew so quickly. It's not something I've had a chance to learn about. So I've had to kind of start from the ground up. But thankfully I have a lot of people helping me out right now. And the guys at Another Round Disc Golf are really, really helping me build a list of stuff. I'm trying to figure it out as I go. But what I have tested, the production lines are, you know, obviously all backed up like they are in every company. So MVP doesn't have a ton of stuff in lightweights, but what I do have so far, I'm already in love with, and I'm just about to start trying to search for backups.
Is that something you reach out to the community, the gyronauts, yeah, or is it someone is calling them?
Yeah, didn't you say gyro heads?
I called you a gyro head, but someone on the board corrected me, said it's a gyronaut. So
I
like gyro heads too, personally. But and if you know what, if you're Greek, it's gyro head. So
yeah.
I've basically been advised by MVP to put out a call to their community, because apparently they're cool with this kind of thing. It does feel weird asking for discs from the general public, but I think we are in a weird situation right now that is, you know, unlike any time we have seen or will see as far as production goes. And I think MVP is confident they'll get caught up here soon, but just how quickly everything grew in the past year, like everyone's kind of having to fly by the seat of their pants and figure it out as they go. And I hope when I put like a call out for discs that people will be understanding of all of that. And I think everyone's well aware that discs are hard to find right now.
Yeah. And I guess just as a clarification, you're not just like looking for a handout because they're not treating you well. They're just simply a production challenge and saying, hey, here's what we think
especially
you'll like.
For lightweights.
Yeah. So,
and that's what I throw. And like, that's not what everybody wants. Not everyone in the world is wanting light discs. The common is max weight discs. Mm. And I just don't throw that. So that's why I'm having to do this. They do have heavy discs in most of the molds, like it would be a lot easier to find, but it's the lighter weights that I'm having an issue finding right now.
All right. Well, let's backtrack just a little bit to maybe ramp up to where you are now. But last year, it felt like you were primarily throwing an open or a mixed bag, but you were kind of, were you in talks with a sponsor? Where were things at last year?
Yeah, last year I was with Aria Discs, and it was, I don't know, I don't want to say taking a chance, but it was kind of because it was, they were trying to start up a disc golf company. They've been making Ultimate Discs, and they're the number two Ultimate producer. It's called an Aria Disc, and they were trying to start making disc golf discs because they had a huge market of Ultimate players that were transitioning into disc golf during the pandemic because they couldn't play team sports. So they started trying to make discs, but it was really difficult to get discs last year as well. So they weren't able to have anything in stock at the beginning of the year, all the way until like September or October. So it didn't quite work out. It wasn't easy because I didn't have stuff to throw. So I had to throw a mixed bag and make it work because of the lack of discs from Aria. But it was something that they couldn't help. They do have discs in stock now, but I think they're going to focus more on dies. They started making these really cool die kits that everyone should check out. And then the Aria disc is like the only Ultimate lid that you can die. So yeah, they have these cool die kits and instructional videos and all kinds of stuff. They're working with a bunch of dyers, and they want to have like white discs available on the website. So you can kind of go through and get the whole thing there on their site, but not a disc sponsor anymore. They are just focusing on other things and on the Ultimate side of things.
Yeah. And then again, just to paint the full picture, what were you putting with, we'll say even last year, and then what do you think you're going to be putting with MVP this year?
Do they make anything that isn't Conrad related? I'm not sure. I just figured it was.
I feel like it'd be silly too.
Why not?
No, I always had a hard time finding putters when I was with Innova because all their putters are overstable in my opinion, or they're fat, too fast. So I never really had a putter I loved. So as soon as I was not sponsored by Innova anymore, I switched over to a Warden. I think the Warden's a great putter. But it was just an open bag last year. So I putted with the Warden just for 1 year. This year I was kind of trying to find something that felt similar to a Warden, a beadless, a little bit rounder on the bottom, straight. But I've started throwing proxies, and MVP proxy, and I'm absolutely loving them. Like it's been a joy to putt with, and I can't necessarily say they feel similar to a Warden, but they feel good and they're flying really good. I also really am loving the Anode, and I'm kind of deciding between the Anode and the proxy. Both of them are a little bit less stable, and I love that. Like out of the box, they're already a little bit less stable or straighter, and then the Anode even more so. So I might have an Anode as like a longer putter or more like Anheuser putter in the bag, maybe do both, but I'm loving both of them so far, having a lot of fun learning how to putt with them.
No, and as people are asking what you need in lightweight, so we'll talk about that specifically in a moment, but with regard to putters, is that something you also still go light with, or is that a mid middleweight?
Right,
what do you do when it comes to putters?
Right now I'm putting with max weight. I putted with max weight last year, but at Innova I always did lighter ones because I was trying to fight the stability by hopefully having less weight. And so, yeah, I've always done lighter weight putters, but I think I'm okay with heavy weights in putters now. And thankfully MVP does have all that in stock. So that's not something I need to shop around for. I have plenty available to me.
Okay, so
and they're pretty too.
Yes. So Chaser is out on the board, who we know is very active. Somebody else had made a comment. We'll see if we can keep up with them. But what exactly do you feel like Hype Man is asking? What molds are you looking for in the lighter weights that you know of right
there's
now?
There's too many to name, because I haven't been able to test a lot, and that's the issue I'm running into right now. Because there is nothing available, I can't test anything effectively. I could test heavier ones, but honestly, I don't think it tells you as much. Excuse me. So right now I'm thinking about taking a spin up to another round, up to Charlotte, because they, the couple of the guys up there just switched their bags to MVP last year and learned everything they could. So they have a lot of knowledge, and they also have a lot of used discs. So I can go up there and kind of do some field work and test some stuff out. In the meantime, I've made a list that I'm going to release publicly that has all the discs that I'm looking for and the plastics and the weights. But I'm honestly kind of, that's like my estimated list. And, you know, if there's stuff aside from that list that people think that would be worth trying, I'm always open to that as well.
So just everybody send your discs to Madison.
No, and like you said, go ahead.
I'm trying to come up with, I was talking to Terry about this earlier. I'm trying to come up with like a way to like, you know, pay people back. Cause at this point with the season coming up so quickly, I don't know how I'm going to be able to ship stuff back that I don't use after field testing before hitting the road. And it would just be a lot of boxes going in and out and keeping track of what people are sending me. So I'm going to try to do that to the best of my abilities, depending on what the reaction is to all of this. But I don't know what it's going to look like. And I'm going to try my best to like get people back when they give me stuff that I love, and, you know, maybe get stuff back to people if I don't love it, but I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, no, I mean, and honestly, you know, if you have an outpouring or an overpouring of support and people want to help out, like you said, you're not trying to also turn this into a year-long shipping and handling and receiving episode either.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I don't really intend to sell discs either, besides my tour series discs when they eventually come out. So like, this is, I don't want to like get people's discs so that I can flip them and make money. Like that's not, I only want to sell my tour series discs. So like, I'm honestly trying to figure out a way that I can limit the amount of discs that are coming in, because so I'm trying to organize that, because I don't want to have hundreds of discs.
Sure.
I don't need that. I literally just need what I need, and like, you know, three or four backups of each one. And so I'm trying to figure out how to organize that while putting out a public call. And I think it's good. I'm not going to put my address on there, so like I can't just get like random disc mail.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. That
There's
would
other
not.
Reasons I shouldn't
yes.
do that, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. If somebody wants to have me help as an intermediary, I'd be happy to do so. I do plenty of shipping and receiving. Obviously, I see Madison quite often, and I'm at a ton of events, that type of stuff. I'd be more than happy to work kind of as a middleman here. But yeah. Would not be a good idea for you to start giving.
And just to reiterate, I don't know what people are saying in the chat, but like MVP knows that I'm doing this. Like I feel like it looks a little bit weird, but they know that I'm doing this, and they, we have to right now. It's weird, but
yeah, we saw Chris Dickerson do the same thing actually with his putters. He was looking for a specific putter. He's like, I'm looking for this in this plastic and this weight. And right now, not just MVP, but Discraft and, you know, like they don't have all these specifics like they used to. You need to kind of hunt down certain ones that you're going to be throwing. So there's no,
every
there's no shame
with
in
it right now.
yeah.
It feels weird. I'm not going to lie though.
Of course, but that's, I mean, you're going to a sponsor and people are going to say, well, they can't give her what she wants. It's like, no, they literally can't right now.
But I hope people understand this is a weird time in life. Like last year and the year before are weird. Like what are we dealing with right now in lives? And how are we just like pummeling through like it's normal? but we're doing it.
Well, that kind of leads to again normalcy and weird and everything else that we've been going through for the last couple of years. 2020, you largely, you know, set your disc down, you grabbed a couple of oars and your sun hat or whatever,
and paddled out into
some other lands with some other friends, right? I don't know, reflect a little. You have a way with words. Reflect a little, like what did 2020 mean, and now you're coming back in. I don't want to say a year behind everyone else, but you took a year off when a lot of people didn't.
Yeah. Well, so honestly, that year when I made the decision, I made it because I didn't want to be like a traveling vector, and I didn't feel good about just going out into the community yet. I just was a little cautious about the pandemic. It was new. It was different. And you were hearing a lot of crazy stuff. So it felt better for me to go off on my own. And what that did, instead, not a lot of people did take that year off. It actually turned into a year of massive growth. Mm-hmm. And it's in the touring community and just in disc golf in general. So being out of the loop that one year was interesting, and it caused, I lost the spot forever at that point. You know, Innova dropped me. It made a lot of big changes in my life. And so it was nice to have that whole year to reflect and to kind of try to look inside and figure out what I indeed wanted out of disc golf and what I thought disc golf could help me do. And then also it was a nice turning point to kind of get away from what I never saw myself breaking away from. And it opened a lot of horizons up. So it was very symbolic and awesome. And now, I have my job with the Pro Tour that is so cool. And I feel like I can do so many awesome things with that. And then, and now look where it's led me to MVP. And I'm honestly so, I've never felt so welcomed by a sponsorship in my life. It's been awesome.
Well, talk a little bit about your Pro Tour job. You're the sustainability coordinator, sustainability manager. I'm not exactly sure your title.
Are you the assistant to the regional manager or the manager to the region? What's your title?
It's the environmental and special initiatives coordinator. It was just the environmental coordinator, but I've got the special initiatives in there too. So it's basically trying to make the tour more sustainable or have less impact. Jeff Spring called me almost as immediately after he took over, and just saying that he had something in the works that he wanted more than anything for this tour to accomplish stuff and to, you know, go places for the professionals and for the sport. But in reality, he wanted to be really intentional, and he wanted to use this company to make a difference. So I'm trying to fill those boots, which are huge. And I don't have a lot of experience, but I do have a lot of passion, and I have worked in policy a little bit. So I'm feeling my way around. I've had to build the position from the ground up myself, of course, with Jeff's insights as well and with his ideas. I'm working with tournament directors a lot to make events more sustainable. And then the special initiatives are women's initiatives and diversity, inclusion, and anything else, community stuff. That's where I have little to no experience. I'm always open to people who have advice or ideas, kind of trying to figure out what that looks like and deal with things as they come, but haven't quite gotten to where I'm ahead of the game yet. So we'll see what happens there.
How does, I would guess you're not punching a clock. How do you determine when, hey, I'm going to sit down and either focus or log some hours, maybe. So figuratively, I guess, punching a clock. But how do you determine when you're going to work on some special initiatives? Can you do that while you're driving from an event to event? You know what I mean? When do you get to kind of decipher what's part of that? Or do you feel like it's going to be a little bit reactionary in terms of somebody saying, hey, here's what I'm thinking, and then you think about a way to implement that? Have you figured all of that out yet, or is that ongoing?
No, it's ongoing. And my time management skills definitely can use some improvement. So I'm trying to get better at that. But
let me see when the last time you didn't reply to a message from me.
All of them.
Yeah.
But
that says something about you.
Yeah. Ooh, JVD, bring in the truth.
Uh-huh. Anyway, let's stay focused.
So no, I actually do kind of, it's like a clock in, clock out thing. It is weird because I am doing stuff while on the road and while on the phone. And, but this year, honestly, it feels like it's been mostly reactionary, and I don't like that. But at the same time, I've been so focused on the environmental side of things, and I'm still learning about the other side, that I'm trying to do the best that I can, and learn while doing a good job at it. And that's so hard to do, especially all the sponsorship stuff has eaten up a lot of my time for the last couple of weeks. So, definitely I would say it's more reactionary at this point, and that will change as time goes by and as I get all caught up with everything else.
in a perfect world, which we're never going to live in, but as we fight for one, what would you say is like a really important goal or passion or initiative that you would love to see played out that or implemented that you can either head up or lead or coordinate or whatever? Is there anything specific about the tour that you that really jumps out at you as like, hey, you know, whether it's obtainable right away or not, is there anything in particular?
I mean, it's trying to make a tour sustainable is really tough because of all the traveling, and obviously traveling is one of the biggest, I would say, factors that contributes right now to, like not treating the environment very well. So that's one thing is maybe at some point getting all the vehicles to where, but that's so expensive and that's so far down the line, but I think that's very ideal. At this point, it's mostly, it's more, feasible to do smaller stuff. I think it would be awesome if we could move away from water bottles during the pandemic. That made it impossible because that was the most, the cleanest way of drinking water, I guess. So I'm hoping we can move away from plastic water bottles right now. I think that would be my biggest goal, but it is also still going to be tough with the pandemic still happening. Everything else is going to be little stuff. It seems little, but when it, when you add it all together, it helps. So we're trying to move away from plastic badges, players pack, unnecessary goods, stuff like that, to try to just eliminate single use stuff that we tend to treasure as like little treasures and goodies and just stuff that's unnecessary.
Yeah, and that's always so tough. And you've been to countless tournaments. Johnny and I have been to countless tournaments. You get a player pack or an entire bag of items, and the Visitors and Convention Bureau naturally wants to have their nice full color glossy, you know, brochure in there saying about all the amazing things that are happening in their city or their county or their state. And unfortunately, we, most of us, if we're looking for any of those things, are probably going online. And but yet, you know, they're supporting the, you know, the disc golfers. And that's their job, is to make sure that we're aware of those things. It's just, it's always this fine line because you're like, okay, we're in blank county. Okay, you may or may not even flip through that. And then unfortunately, that's probably recycled at best. And
at the absolute best.
Exactly.
But likely not.
So that's where, you know, those types of things, I always think of like, oh, unfortunately, this is so wasteful. And it's like they're doing their job, but we can we find a better way to do this?
Yeah. And so the best that we can do is just get the help the Pro Tour get there. And so, like, I think moving away from caddy books will help. I know we've seen our share of very beautiful, detailed, long ad driven caddy books. I'm trying to get everyone away from that because that's a lot of use. But yeah, it's a slow process, and but the tournament directors have been awesome to work with. Right now I'm just working with the tour events, not the Silver Series yet. But this is kind of a trial year, and we'll see what happens and see how I can implement it into the other stuff. And then the other big thing that Jeff was really really excited about and was really hopeful to work towards is, yes, we want the tour to be, you know, low impact, but also we want to figure out ways to inspire local clubs and inspire disc golfers that are tuning in and not on tour to impact the same, their local communities in the same way, and to hopefully like think about this stuff on their own courses. Just little things like inspiring people to pick up at their own course. I mean, you wouldn't think that'd be difficult, but just trying to educate course designers and clubs on how to do little things on their own is, I think, even a bigger impact than the tour just being sustainable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think about all the little things that maybe with that regard, I think about the quality in which maybe you make your or your tee signs. Are they of a, you know, and there's always two trains of thought. I'm going to make an inexpensive sign because it might get vandalized and I'm just going to have to replace it. So let's make it inexpensive. Or do you go with something that's a little bit better quality that hopefully withstands the test of time a little longer, hence being a little bit more of a sustainable, you know, and you're getting that longevity out of it. I think those are always going to be tough decisions, you know, for a club to think about. And then think about when a tour rolls into town. Well, we're actually not using that tee pad. We're going to use a different tee pad. And then are we missing the mark? And, you know, and then you think of the course assets. You know, we have, we very much, flower up the course, so to speak, or litter the course, in another phrase, with all these amazing advertisements that that's helping pay for the tour. Yeah. But can those, you know, getting those made of the best quality so they can last us an entire season or two seasons? I think those are questions that, you know, can be asked as well.
Yep. And that's what I'm starting pretty small, because that's stuff that sadly has already been kind of implemented. It's stuff that they've already bought and have. So just, I'm trying to prepare for the next time around when those do wear out, and just kind of have all the options laid out, because it's unfortunately, because of cost, it's really hard to do the perfect sustainable method with everything. So I'm just trying to lay out options more than anything, and have them be a resource for tournament directors and for the tour, if they decide they want to take that extra cost or that extra little bit of initiative.
And then do you find, will you have a conversation with someone over in sponsorships like Sean Jack when you say, I'd love to get rid of caddy guides and the ads that go in them, and Sean saying, but wait, those are our ads. That's what helps pay for the tour and for your salary. Mm-hmm. So like, where's that fine balance going to come from?
Well, I'm hoping, and, you know, not being someone that can design apps, it's hard to be like, well, let's design an app, you know, because that's another thing that's expensive. But it is something that you will never not use. So I'm hoping right now a lot of the tournament directors are pretty okay, or have already started on their own designing, you know, little websites or apps that have the caddy books and everything already digital. And a lot of times you can still throw your ads in there, and they're just as effective as they would be in a paper pamphlet. So, yeah, a lot of tournament directors are already taking those steps too, because it is less expensive in the long run.
Yeah. And I think about, of course, with UDisc coming along and, you know, us seeing scoring, and along with PDGA scoring, to have those applications as opposed to the pencil and paper. You think about the paper that gets thrown away, but then we think about the devices that have to be charged more. And then I think we could go round and round in all these circles, right? I mean,
yeah.
Will you figure that all out, please, Madison, and report back next week?
You're speaking to the dark hole in my brain that I avoid.
Let's not spin her out of control right now.
Yeah, I don't need help at all. Like, do you want to start talking about coral reefs? Like, we can go there.
Okay, so
I have to giggle all the time so I don't cry.
It's a defense mechanism. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's a cover up.
Let's talk about those algae blooms down in Florida. And
So let's go into the All-Stars. Obviously, that's just now, believe it or not, a few weeks away. You're speaking about getting ready for the tour season, and all the madness that, you know, will likely ensue with that, no matter what the prep work looks like. But All-Star weekend, where does that stand? What are you doing? Are you around? Are you hanging out? Do you have work to do out there?
Well, yeah, they're having like a big media day, and they're like getting all the crews organized. So I may go out there just to be present for planning for the rest of the season. That's the only plans right now.
Okay. Is the All-Stars, and maybe I'm not trying to put you on the spot, is the All-Star weekend something that you or other players, do you feel like people are aspiring to be a part of?
100%. Okay. I think, at least personally, like, I love Worlds mixed doubles more than anything. I know it's not necessarily always like the, you know, cleanest run event, because it's more for fun than anything. But like, I love those type of events that have different formats. I think it's awesome. Like, I was really excited about the Champions Cup that was coming this year, like having those different formats. I think it's kind of fun to do stuff like that, and it makes it exciting for viewers too, because it's something different than normal, and everyone likes to see like something change up. So I like these All-Star events. I think are awesome, and I think all the players are super psyched to be involved, because it's just a change from the norm that we're so used to doing year after year.
So was it Madison against the world when it came down to that Champions Cup format? Because I feel like you were in the minority then, if
very
you
much
really
so.
Loved.
Am I? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's been changed, so that tells you how much other,
which I was,
you know,
bummed.
Well, you're the only one, I think, because there was a lot of very, very upset and disgruntled top level players, your peers, that absolutely hated what was proposed and put forth originally.
Did they hate it because of the format, or do they hate it because it was going to be considered a major with that format?
I guess both.
Latter.
More so the latter.
Because
I can understand that.
They didn't want.
See, that's why I like the All-Star event, because it's not anything big. I can understand not wanting the format on a major, because then it doesn't feel, it's not technically a major anymore with that, you know, funky.
It's not a stroke play major,
like Terry said. And a lot of people were upset that, you know, the work that they put in, they felt like for the first 3 days would be erased on that final day. Mm-hmm.
Or could be.
You'd have a 7-stroke lead, and then suddenly you're neck and neck with somebody on the final day playing match play, which was the big complaint.
No, and that's 100% accurate. I think what I like the All-Star, I like the different formatting, but I don't think you should do it at a major. 100%, I agree with that. But honestly, if they're gonna do it, I would be into it also if it was a major. I don't mind it. Like, I'm not going to complain about it, but I see why people are.
Yeah. And so excited for it to happen, but it sounds like, and yeah, to be fair, a lot of people did say this can happen. It just shouldn't have that distinction attached to it. So I think we're going to see it play out as a regular event. So I do have an idea. And unfortunately, I don't think you're going to be around because you're likely not signed up or playing Memorial. Will be an A tier this year. One of the things, and I'll spoil it for everyone out there right now, is I would like to, I'll be covering that from a post-production perspective, and I want to come up with a mixed doubles format that's fun to play, that's a little bit more unique than, it definitely won't be just straight up best shot. The best shot, modified best shot at Worlds, I kind of like, but I'd like it to be played at Fountain, and this is an exhibition match, you know, for my channel. Maybe I'll talk to you about some ideas, because I'd like to see mixed doubles. You know, I just edited the Worlds mixed doubles that you were in, and it just made me think, you know, a lot of people said, hey, I love mixed doubles, so let's find a way to do it. What is it about mixed doubles that you love so much?
I think it's different. So that's nice. It's nice to not just be doing stroke play. It's also nice coming from a team sports background. I like playing with somebody else. I like having to have a teammate there with you. And I would normally say like rooting for each other, but obviously, you know, that Zach and I are not rooting for each other.
We're actually battling
and talking smack the whole time. But I love that. I love the camaraderie of being playing with somebody. And I think it mixes things up and levels the playing field a lot, depending on how, you know, the teams are set up. I think it just makes things more interesting. And I also really like, you know, obviously there's less viewership in women's disc golf than there is in men's. I like that, like a mixed doubles scenario is bringing people to watch women's disc golf and maybe become a fan of a women's player they didn't even know exists or had never taken the time to watch.
Totally agree with that. It's been one of my favorite, I was going to say, events to cover in the last 5 or 6 years. I think I've gotten like 4 out of the last 5 sets of World's doubles. And it's so much fun.
Although I feel like with the video that you just edited with me and Zach and Kristen and Silver, I feel like I was reading comments and a lot of people were like, I didn't even know who Silver was. Like, it was like the opposite. Like, Kristen fans were like learning about Silver.
Very much so. Awesome. Pretty funny flipping that on its head, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
She picked up a lot of fans last year. A lot of fans.
Yes. And I understand why. I'm a huge fan now as well, starting last year.
Oh, well, see, I was a big fan before that, so I beat you.
Yeah, me too.
And then real quick, just to add, you and Zach really screwed up a couple of years ago. You won mixed doubles, but you didn't do it on the lead card that I was filming. You won it from like second or third card, didn't you? 2019?
Just to spite you, Terry Bear, we like decided going into the round, we're like, whoa, he's not going to film our card? Looks like we're going to win.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good job.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And we planned it too, because we knew the pandemic was going to come, so we were going to be the only 2-year champion.
Yeah, you could ride it longer. That was definitely a smart plan. Yeah, make sure to really stretch that title out and all the accolades that go with it, to stretch that out.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of where you're going to be, what you're doing, what does, as of right now, and let's say things are good and getting better, hopefully, in our world, what does 2022's touring season, that's a lot of t-t-t, look like for you?
Right now I'm signed up for almost all the pro tour events, except for Declo, and I may not play one of the Texas events. Goal is to make the pro tour championship again. I love that event. I like the format. Obviously we've made that clear, but, so that would be my major goals. I'm going to play all the majors as well. I was hoping to go to Europe, but I don't think it's in the cards this year. I think I'm going to stay in the States. If I decide to go to Europe, eventually it'll be another year. But I don't quite think I'm there yet. But yeah, that's the plan right now. I'll be touring solo for my first time since 2019. Yeah. Well, I toured with Erica a little bit in 2019, but 2018, 2019 was majority by myself. So I'll be doing that again. I'm excited. I'll hopefully have a new tour vehicle as well.
What do you get? Plan. Do you know what you're getting? What kind of tour vehicle you're going to be getting?
No, I was thinking a van, maybe something with high clearance, because I could take it four-wheel driving, because I like to do that. But it's been really hard to find anything. There used to be Econolines everywhere on the market, but there's just nothing right now. And I guess maybe Amazon and DHL bought a bunch of the big, like, box-style trucks and Sprinter vans. So there's not a lot of those available either. And if they are available, they're really marked up and they go really fast. So you have to be ready and waiting with cash in hand. Trucks and trailers are surprisingly more prevalent and about the same price. I'm looking at maybe pulling a trailer as well, but it's mostly, I can't really be too picky right now because the market is insane. Just like in the housing market, the car market's insane. Everyone wants to do van life right now, so everything is flying off the shelves too, so you have to be ready.
Yeah, and I guess that would lead me to ask then, you know, we've seen you in your car, if you would then possibly just go to a fuel efficient car and possibly go that route for a year, knowing just the shortage of vans and bigger vehicles.
Yeah, it would be awesome, but that is very expensive. And honestly, right now I need space, because with the pandemic still kind of being a thing, I am not quite ready to go fully back to staying with hosts year round. I just don't think it's a good idea. I think we're going to see more issues with the pandemic this year than we have before. But I know it's a little bit more mild, as they say, but I don't know. I still think it's not quite time to bounce fully back to staying at host houses every single weekend, especially week after week after week. I just need something a little bigger that I can live out of if need be, especially on the in-between nights.
So speaking of houses, how is Pensacola becoming like this hotbed for our at least our elite level women golfers? But what's going on down in Pensacola? Paige and Alyssa just released their new YouTube series last night of their house and their story. Obviously Eric and Tina moving there. I mean, are you a trendsetter? Did you bring everybody to Pensacola?
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame people for following me into the light. No, I mean, I was born and raised here, so like this is home. I was like the fourth or fifth generation in Pensacola, so it is. I love it here. I really do love my home, but it is truly bizarre to see people moving here one after another. I guess it is fairly inexpensive for the housing market. It's more expensive here than it's ever been, so it's weird to hear people. Maybe their budgets are a little bit bigger, but because houses are expensive here right now, but I guess it is cheaper maybe compared to the rest of the country. It is warm. It's Florida. So it's a good place to spend an off season. We have a really nice beach too. Can't lie.
Who's do you know of anyone else that's teetering on the idea of calling Pensacola home?
Are there other people?
That's what I'm asking you. You have the answer.
Is Thomas Gilbert moving? Is he coming? Is he going to give up his Canadian citizenship?
Not that I've heard of. Okay. Not that I heard of, but honestly, if anyone said they were, I wouldn't even be surprised anymore.
I just didn't know if you were like the official like disc golf welcoming committee to Pensacola. Like that's the other hat you put on. Do you have glasses and a hat you can put on and show us that?
No. No.
Well, if you're looking to buy a house in Pensacola, you can use Knightberry Title as your title agency.
Yes. Reach out to Johnny V's company, who also operates down in Pensacola.
Out of Pensacola. And Destin.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew that. I remember that.
Yeah. I've been down there for that. So.
Okay, so we're going to see you at most of the events, is what you were saying. Is there anything, you know, clearly you're an explorer, and then everybody can read it on Instagram.
Follow Madison's Instagram. If you just like, let me put it this way. It's way less disc golf and way more adventure.
And wildlife.
And wildlife. Not adventure is putting it a little exciting. A few memes, okay. But in general, it is one of the most enjoyable Instagrams out there from any pro, I think.
Oh, thanks, Johnny V.
I check it every couple days.
I like to take pictures, so there's a lot of nature pics. But this year, I'm excited. Abby, who I toured with last year, she's one of my best friends. She hit the road. She's a casual disc golfer that wanted to check out all the courses as well, and we hit the road together the last couple of years, but she put in a bunch of permits for rivers. So I will again be grabbing my paddle periodically and floating a lot of rivers, so you can anticipate some footage from floating rivers in 2022.
What is, just because we're here and it makes sense, throw it in there. What is your Instagram handle?
Old Mad in the Sea. It's like Old Man in the Sea, the Hemingway book. But with Mad instead of Man. I used to like Hemingway a lot. That was before my feminism days. I'm just kidding. That's a nerdy joke.
Okay. We're going to switch gears. So I think what I was going to ask is, what's still on your bucket list? Maybe let's go there. Or what's on your return to list here in 2022? In terms of
like
places
for
and
nature,
yeah, and adventures and things of that kind, yeah.
The last two years I've spent most of my summer in Montana, and I do always want to return there. But I think this year I'm excited about spending a lot more time in Washington. I'm hoping to spend more time in Washington State. So that's my number one return list. I got to spend a week and a half in Maine last year, and I just absolutely love it there. So hopefully get to go back to Maine. It's going to be a busy season, so I won't have as much adventure time as I would like. But I think, Washington is going to be the most exciting time, and then sprinkling a river here and there. There's too many rivers for me to even remember. I know one of them was the Green River in northern Utah, and I'm very excited about that.
Just for the fans out there, what's your least favorite state? Where don't you want to be?
The least favorite state? Oh, that's hard. I kind of like all the states.
Oh, gosh.
Are we going?
You're supposed to say something to offend somebody. Come on, pick a state.
Okay. I think, oh, my gosh. I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but I think it's Texas.
Wow. I didn't think she'd actually say anything.
I love Austin, but like, it's either Texas or maybe the least amount of stuff I've done is in Nebraska, maybe. Mm. I don't know. I just have had some pretty funky times in Texas. I've also had some great times in Texas, so it's hard to like write it all the way off. But like there's a certain area of Texas that I really don't like. I've had some rough times in like Amarillo area.
Okay.
But Nebraska is the least, I probably have done the least stuff there, but Nebraska's really cool. I like all the old barns and tumbleweeds and stuff. I like all the states. I don't like the New Jersey Turnpike.
No, I don't think anybody likes that.
I was going to say, I don't know.
I don't believe anyone's ever said, you know what I enjoy doing this week? Spending time on the New Jersey Turnpike. Do you have anything?
I know most people would be like, I hate Mississippi, but I love Mississippi. I went to college there. So I like all the states. Alabama, that's like an hour from me. I love Alabama. I just like all the states.
Do you have anything lined up fun for when you're in Wisconsin? For the
U.S. Women's?
For U.S. Women's?
Yes, I love Wisconsin. I think it's wonderful. But mostly it will be playing disc golf while I'm there, sadly. But I think
Madison's a great area, though. There's a lot of stuff to do around there.
I was going to say that. I don't want to say Madison's a cool city because that sounds like I'm just making a joke about my name, but I really do love Madison, the city. I think it's a really cool place. I love all the, it's just like, seems very like, you know, farmy and farm to table-y and community based. And I really like art, lots of art. And I just think it's a cool little town.
It, yeah, it's not little, but yes, it's a cute, it's a cool town.
Cool,
it's,
big town.
It's a very cool, big, very college-y, liberal town.
Yeah. Where I was, it seems so small. Maybe I didn't
you were
a ton of it.
Yeah, when you were here for Worlds in like AM Worlds in like 16, you were on the outskirts. You were out in Dane County at Token Creek and some of those courses. So I could see how
just being on the east side of Madison,
yeah, is a little bit different
as opposed to downtown, checking out the two lakes. There's a lot of great camping, canoeing, that type of stuff all around the Madison area.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be paddling. I don't think I need to say that. Yeah. What are you laughing at, Terror Bear?
Just you.
Go hang out at the Mazamani Beach.
Mm. Okay. Do that.
You're going to have to remind me that. I'll ask you that again later, Johnny V, because I don't know what the hell word you just said.
It's the nude beach in Wisconsin that everyone knows. Oh. Don't tell her.
You'll figure things out.
Don't worry. Finally writing it down.
All right, I'll go. Excellent.
So... with regard, I mean, we talked a little bit about, you know, how you were feeling in 2020, and then you talk about touring and just all the everything you feel about disc golf and where your life is and what you've been doing. And obviously you have this education that you work very hard for. Do they cross over? Do you look beyond disc golf, or where do you put yourself when you think about disc golf, the tour life as a professional athlete versus maybe something that is or isn't in your, you know, directly in your career path or field?
Well,
is there a crossover there somewhere? Does there have to be?
Well, yeah, I think this job with the pro tour is a nice little crossover, but it's not, it's more like sustainability and like policy-ish based, whereas my field before was more like research based and biological. But it's cool because there is definitely a crossover. I've already kind of felt myself aiming back in the direction of my field of the sciences, because I love it so much. But this year I was supposed to play in the Chain Hawk in Gainesville, Florida, but I backed out because I shot right before I shot, and it on my ass was very intense, and it took away all my practice days and even was going to leak over into one of the tournament days. So I backed out, and a guy messaged me, and he was like, oh, I wish you would have come. I really wanted to meet face to face. If you don't mind, can we set up a FaceTime call? And normally I'm like, I don't know about that. Who are you, random?
What beach are you
person?
At? Yeah.
Yeah. Random man. But he was like, oh, I'm a professor at University of Florida, and I would love to chat. I love disc golf. I loved your lionfish race. And so I set up with him, and we had a meeting, and turns out he is an invasive species biologist at University of Florida. He works with mostly plants, but he saw the lionfish, which is an invasive species, on my wraith, and thought that it was a cool crossover between his two of his loves, disc golf and invasive species. So it turns out he like used to disc golf a bunch in the 70s and 80s. He knows a bunch of like the old legends and disc golf, but he chose science instead of disc golf. And he saw me as someone that chose disc golf instead of science. And so he said, I'm here for you. If you ever want to make moves back to your field, I know it can be difficult. It can be scary. It can be intimidating. So I'm here as a resource and as someone who's willing to help with recommendation letter writing and help you get reintroduced if you're interested in it. And it was like, honestly, that one of the nicest and coolest things that's happened to me in a long time. So it's very exciting. It all crosses over. It all circles back around. Yeah.
Yeah. And
his name is Stephen Enlow out of Gainesville.
Okay. Which is awesome to hear that. I think a lot of, especially when you're, I don't want to say Johnny and I missed the boat by any means, but knowing that we've seen disc golf from where it was and then now where it's going, obviously.
We didn't miss no boat.
Well, I'm saying we're seeing more people with the initiative to go to essentially jump right into disc golf as quickly as they can, whether that's high school, or maybe they're completing college, maybe they're not, whatever the case is. Obviously, everyone's finding at a different age still, but people are jumping right into it. And you and I'm going to say another Floridian in Calvin, you both got your degrees, but then have taken disc golf as your path. And I always just think, do you consider those, you know, is that education always a fallback? Is it always there? Is it something that you're actively thinking about? I know you can't speak necessarily for Calvin, but one's got to think the same for him. If he wasn't as good as he is, would that be more on the forefront as opposed to, you know, on the back burner? Like, and heck, you and him could be insanely successful in disc golf, but still gravitate elsewhere just because you need to fill a different void. Maybe? No?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think right now there is kind of like a movement. I try to be on the TikTok. And like, you know, keep in touch with the youth.
You put down the Facebooks to get to the TikTokers. Got it.
Yes. Check out Madison's TikTok for all the newest dances.
Yes.
God, no. I do TikTok karaoke. No, I'm just kidding. That would be horrible. But
yeah, it would.
No, but I think there's like a massive movement right now with the younger generations than mine, where college is not necessarily as much of a path, like a required path, as it was for people my age. So I think that is a good thing. I think college was some of my favorite years of my life. I feel like that's kind of a D-baggy thing to say, but like, I really did love college. I thought it was great and I had a great time. I feel like I learned a lot about myself and about growing up in those years. And it was just, I love learning. I love studying. I love reading about my field. So, I think it's going to be better because people that will only go to college if that is what they're supposed to do, you know, and not necessarily everyone has to go to college to have any sort of career or trade or path in life. And I think it's awesome that that's kind of opening up and changing a little bit. So that way there's not millions of people in debt to student loans with a degree that they hate that they never felt called to do. So, I think it's awesome. And I think it's cool to see young people coming straight out of high school and going straight into disc golf. It's like that would have made everyone nervous 10 years ago. And it did. But now I think it's definitely more feasible, especially now that disc golf can be a career.
And then I'll take that even to the next level and say, even if you don't succeed as a top level disc golfer, disc golf has blown up so much that there's other possibilities, whether you're a brand manager or you could obviously be doing something in the world of media, whether that's a podcaster or announcer or whatever, working a camera.
Commentary.
There's so many other things that you can now branch into in terms of disc golf. Like when we had 10 different jobs in disc golf 20 years ago, now there might be 50 different jobs in disc golf. I mean, you can become a special initiatives coordinator, environmental person. I mean, no, there's just so many more opportunities, honestly, that your passion could lead you to, and they may or may not require any kind of, you know, additional degrees or education. I think you're saying the possibilities are endless now, which is awesome.
Yep. And I'm glad that people are moving away from like one path kind of life, because it doesn't need to or have to be one way or one right way.
No, I think, 98 Degrees said it best.
No, they didn't.
I want it that way. No. Okay, so.
No.
That might have been NSYNC, actually.
That's not even 98 Degrees.
Yeah, I know. I'm not mad that I don't know. I'm not mad that I was confused for a moment and wasn't perfectly sure. I'm okay with that, actually.
Folks, he was, and he threw everybody off.
Speaking of other jobs, disc golf commentary. Two Hot Geese came about, and you, Erica, where do you see that going? Is that something you can still pursue? Do you have the time? Do you have the drive to want to do it?
Kind of. The time is always going to be the biggest issue, and it stinks because we are doing this post-produced commentary on tournament days. We're doing it the morning of and then competing that afternoon, and it makes tournament days pretty busy and pretty tiring. We are still going to try to do it. I don't know if the Pro Tour is keeping media teams the same as they were, or if they're going to do a shuffle. So I don't even know if GK Pro is covering FPO in 2022. I don't know the answer to that. I haven't
I think Jeff, I just listened to an interview with Jeff, and I think he said don't expect much change this year.
Okay.
As far as post-production. Now, he didn't get into details, but my guess would that would mean that we're not going to see much change in the well, the groups that cover what divisions.
Yeah. But. Okay. So, well, I mean, Erica and I talked about it the other day, and we both think that we have a good thing going, and we got in good habits by the end of the year last year, and we can make it work. So yeah, we'd be excited, and people seem to receive it pretty well. So we're going to try to, you know, not just rest on our laurels because of that, but get better and hopefully still bring the great hot delirious hot goose commentary that's you sometimes at 7 a.m.
What would be the number one thing you feel like you learned or grew with when it came to the commentary this year?
That is a good question. I think preparation is maybe the thing that I realized helps the most. Erica was really, she loves doing commentary. I don't know how many of you guys listen to the Two Hot Geese do the FPO post-produce, but Erica, in my opinion, had been doing commentary for a couple years before that with the Pro Tour and with Terry. But Erica came on and she came on strong and she really, really loves doing it. So having her as a commentary partner was awesome. Like she works really hard and she cares about it a lot. And she would get disc lists from all the players so that we could talk about the discs and try to learn all the players' bags so that we can bring like more intelligent commentary and not just be like goofing off and giggling the whole time. So I think preparation was the biggest thing I learned, how important that is and how much of a game changer it can be for commentary. Also, we both learned that eating before we do it helps, regardless of how early it is, because Erica's stomach growls so loud. if you tune into some front nines, you will hear it. And I realize I can't put a damn sentence together without a snack before the rounds. My blood sugar does not allow for me to creatively put together words.
I know everybody has their opinions on this specific matter, but how important is it that disc names or the molds that someone is throwing, do you feel that's crucial to commentary? I don't want to just say lazy if you're not doing it, but, and the follow-up to that is, if it's used, Who's gaining the most by that? Is that the sponsor or is that the individual player? Is it a retailer?
Well, so we initially made it not mandatory, but we just tried to really make sure we were saying discs that were that specific player's signature disc to help them sell discs. Because a big thing in FPO commentary is highlighting the FPO players. They haven't in the past gotten as much media time as MPO, and it's harder to sell discs. They don't sell as many discs. So like we're trying to really build the brand of the FPO players that are out there working their butts off. So that was like the start of it. But then we realized that a lot of people were receptive to at least knowing if it was a fairway driver or a mid or a putter that people were throwing, just trying to understand shot selection. Cause a lot of people, they're watching the post-produced rounds because they're fans, but also people are trying to learn and trying to grow their own game. So I think it's helpful to at least be able to know if it's what's kind of speed range of disc it is that players are throwing and why, and like at least speculate why they're choosing that disc in that situation.
Okay. Yeah. I just know it's an ongoing debate. Yeah, and I feel like I love the idea of sharing. It's a mid or it's a driver, it's a fairway. I love that sharing, I'll say that generic information. Mm-hmm. And I've always just been challenged with the idea of saying, oh yeah, this is so and so's trespass or destroyer or octane or whatever.
Well, I mean, it is so hard. That's why I was giving Erica such big props. It's like, I mean, it's her getting those lists was like a whole nother job in and of itself. And also, a lot of times players aren't receptive to wanting to send you their disc lists after every single round, especially players that are making lead card round after round after round. You know, they just kind of expect you to learn their bag. So, like, all the props go to Erica for for getting that together. It's not something that I think I would follow up with doing if I was doing commentary on my own. Maybe I would, you know, talk to players during rounds while I was playing with them and try to remember stuff, but getting those lists together and being that organized is, I mean, it's tough. It is tough.
What have you, and I just want to throw one final statement on that. I don't necessarily go out and learn or memorize or look at them. I almost do it intentionally. It's not because I'm lazy. I don't feel as if it's as crucial when I say this is a Firebird or a Trespass or a Felon or whatever. I always think about those discs are beat to a certain level and worn in, yep, or maybe some kind of a special such and such that really nobody else is getting their hands on, or so and so has the very first prototypes, but yet no one else can really get their hands on them. And I always feel as if I love the idea of giving a generic reference to the maybe the disc mold, but more so to the disc shape and or design, more so than worrying about, well, that's his fourth run, Nate Sexton, you know, Champion Glow, understamped Firebird, you know, with a white stamp and a so-and-so design, you know, pastry dyes on top.
What's the foil?
Yeah, the foil. It's a heart foil. No, wait, that's his Wonder Bread foil.
What the heck else are you talking about during coverage?
I don't know, flowers? I just
trees? Terry likes to talk about trees?
Okay, I'll sidetrack for a second here.
I get told I need to stop laughing, so I'm going to try to fill this time with molds or something else that is not funny at all.
Yep, molds. Moldy stuff, not funny. What?
Molds and spores.
How many birds can you identify, and do you like it that everyone refers to you as the bird woman?
I'm totally okay with it. Honestly, I'm honored.
Is it the bird woman or the crazy bird woman? Because that's two different things.
I like both. I will respond to both.
Okay.
Because I think Dustin, who's on the board, him and I were just doing commentary, I think, with regard to the Jubilee, which you, of course, featured in. And he heard a bird, or I heard a bird or something. He said, I don't know, we got to ask Madison what that is. Like, that's the default answer. I mean, you are quite the reference point. Anytime a bird is heard anywhere, it's just assumed that, oh, we should probably ask Madison. Does that mean, are you smart or crazy?
Why can't it be both, Care Bear? We don't need to draw lines here. There's no boundaries.
All right.
She's into ornithology.
I actually never studied ornithology ever. I never even took an ornithology class. I just like it. And I got a job as a bird biologist after college by accident, sort of. The oil spill happened in my hometown. And so I started working there, and it turned into a full-time birding position. So I was kind of forced to learn stuff, but I always had liked birds, and now I just truly, genuinely like them. I like don't go anywhere without my binoculars. So, and bird calls are so much fun.
What's your best bird call?
Don't ask me to do one.
Yeah,
this
is a Smashbox exclusive. What is your best bird call? Let's hear it.
No, I am not.
We're waiting. No, we're going to awkwardly stare at you till we get one.
No, my favorite one is the barred owl, but it's like, I do it best when I hear it right, you know, like right before, and I like respond. Yeah, I have a funny story. You want the story?
No, we want a bird
first
call, Madison.
First I want the bird call, then the story.
Any bird call. And we're not even going to know if it's good or bad. What do we know? We're idiots. Give us a bird call, Madison.
Okay.
That sounded just like a bird call.
I did. And our first ever
bird owl.
Okay, first ever bird call. 387 episodes in. I think it's our first. We're
going to
say it
so.
Is. Oh, that's
it. Is too. It's
that's going to
be
an NFT tomorrow. Okay. So what's your story?
So one time me and Calvin were out looking for arrowheads in Georgia, or fossils. You're not allowed to look for arrowheads.
Busted! So busted! Oh my gosh! Oh, you're going to jail. Bird jail. You jailbird.
So we're out and it's raining. Like it is pouring down rain. And I heard, and we're not finding, we didn't find anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm butchering this.
No, you're doing great.
This is awesome. This is
the feds are not watching.
Well, so we're out looking and it's pouring and a barred owl calls and it's my favorite bird call. And I just whatever, we're staring at the ground, and I just called back, and Calvin like turns around and looks at me, and he's like, dang, that was good. And then as he's talking, the barred owl calls back from like, it's like way out in the woods somewhere. It calls back. And I like just kind of like chuckled to myself and was like, and like kept walking. And Calvin's like, what are you doing? Do it again. Like, see if it calls back. So I did it again. It called back, did it again. It called back, and it was like getting closer. And Calvin was like, keep doing it. So I kept doing it. And next thing you know, like a red shouldered hawk also started calling, which is weird. And it was the red shouldered hawk was like in a tree right next to where we were walking. And so I look up, and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm not going to do that call for you because I will break a speaker doing that bird call. But, so the red shouldered hawk comes out, and as it comes out, the owl flies out too. And the red shouldered hawk turns out is dive bombing on the owl. Cause it thought the owl was coming to try to like mess with it and like in its territory. So the owl is following my call, and the red shouldered hawk is dive bombing the owl to get it out of its territory. And so the owl flies across the street, like trying to get this hawk off of it. And it's looking over its shoulder, all frazzled, looking at me like, what the hell are you?
Look what you did, lady. Yeah, like, this is because of you.
Yeah, it like landed in this little tiny pine branch that was too heavy. And it was like, you know, up and down. The feathers are all frazzled. And it just looking at me like, why are you messing with me like this? I thought this was real. I felt terrible.
Oh, wow. You oldies. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. I know. I felt awful.
Wow, and yet you don't have your own show, huh? This is
we've got an owl that lives in our backyard that I hear at night sometimes. I'm going to have to have Madison come and talk to it.
Owl whisperer.
Oh. I have no idea. I don't know. It makes who noising noises. like
whoo, yep, kind see, of thing. He's got it.
Yeah, that's about as good as it gets here.
Madison, so we wouldn't be. Most people know this podcast is incredibly hard-hitting, and mm-hmm. all the most significant controversies and
gotcha journalism
and hard-hitting, you know, we get right to it, no BSing around. So with that in mind, we have to ask, why does everybody think you and Calvin are dating or have dated are dating?
I thought you were gonna say like, is this owl story going to be on Ulti World tomorrow? Like, that's, I thought you were saying my story.
No, we got to get down to the nuts and bolts, the real business, because everybody in the chat needs to know or wants to know.
Why don't you tour with him? Why don't you, you know, all that stuff?
Well, because he's my best friend. And I think everyone is still hesitant to believe that men and women can be best friends, and that's it. That's that. Sorry to bust anyone's romantic bubbles.
I was totally standing them too. I've got behind the curtain. I've got the Madison Calvin. Like, I'm going to have to take it down now.
I
got to
fix
Calvin and I. If Calvin and I dated, it would be just like so weird for Zach, you know, like we can't leave him out.
Yeah, that's true. Because we
or Zach's wife,
it'd be so weird.
Yeah, Heather, she'd be like, you guys are supposed to keep Zach away.
Please, can you please take him? Take him out of the house.
All right. So we just want to make sure it's out there, fair or not. I know it's not anyone's business, but it is, but it's not. So
it's not.
That's why we had to ask. Just because of how serious we take our job. And it's loud and clear. Calvin turned you down. Okay, so we're going to move on.
he's holding out for Zach.
Okay, got it. Whew. All right, the air is clear, finally. Wow, is there anything
and, like,
we have?
I don't know is it not obvious that I only date owls?
That's a valid point.
With a call like that, then we all know why. Yeah.
Oh, I still feel so bad.
Someone said the hot goose catfished an owl. So
yeah,
we have it all.
A talented goose.
Is there anything we haven't uncovered that we need to talk about here tonight? I mean, now that we got you with all the gotcha questions.
I feel like I've given you all my deepest and darkest secrets at this point. what else do you want from me?
Well, in all seriousness, a few people have reached out again, whether you share, well, you'll put it on your socials or wherever you're going to put it with regard to discs you're looking for. And then one of the main components to that is that they're the lighter weight versions. So
like 155 to 165 type weight.
So on the document that I'll be releasing, it has the weight classes that I'm looking for. I have, it's a pretty exhaustive document. So it has everything, all the details on it, all the juicy details.
Dang, you are so needy. Like, oh, I'll take a 166. So don't give me no 171s. I need a 166.
Please help me. Yeah. 167, not interested.
Yeah. That's a hard pass. All right. I don't know if we have anything else for you then, unless you've got other things.
Are you sure? I mean, this has been a pretty quick interview.
Yeah. That's what we're known for. Yeah. Timeliness.
It's only been an hour and 15 minutes. Jeez.
Yeah, actually, we're kind of bored with you. Otherwise, we'd keep you longer. I mean, some people are 2 or 3 hours. But I do feel like I think we've covered just about everything. Like I said, unless you have other things you want to share. You got any secrets? We won't tell anyone.
No. I think I'm considering leaving the disc golf tour to join the pickleball tour. Because that is all I do with my spare time anymore.
You play and watch, but I mean...
I play. I watch it. I watch YouTube videos. I'm playing in a pickleball tournament on Saturday.
Is it your first pickleball tournament, or have you played other pickleball tournaments?
First one ever.
Singles? Doubles?
Let's be real. Doubles.
I think. What?
Ah, eat it, Miller.
Wow. Who's your partner?
You didn't think you could get a partner. Is your... So,
be careful, Johnny. Be careful.
I don't want to be TMZ. Would we know your partner?
No.
Okay, it's just someone in the pickleball community.
His name is James.
Well, he's from Mobile. He's from Mobile. He's not a disc golfer.
Is he over 55?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So he's one of them young pickleballers.
Like it, but he is not.
So in all seriousness, you very much championed and promoted and played and big ambassador and advocate for spike ball. And where are you with spike ball? I know you were, taking that really more serious than most of our other disc golfers were, even though we've seen a number of disc golfers play it.
Yeah, I competed in the national championship.
Exactly. So that's why I ask, how does spike ball, take a back seat now to pickleball?
Well, it's hard to find people to play spike ball when you're 33, because it is a little bit... more of like a game of like cutting and diving. It's a little bit more like body intensive, and it's hard to find people to play with. So that's why it's taken a backseat. You have to have 4 people. Whereas pickleball, you can just show up to any pickleball court and you're going to probably find someone to play with, immediately. And it's like pickleball. I think pickleball might be the only sport that grew faster than disc golf in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Right? Air hockey or floor hockey. Yeah, I think of
almost every niche sport seems to say that they've grown so much, especially during the pandemic, like ones that were outside.
Fastest
or
growing
distant.
Sport.
Yeah.
We've heard that from a lot of different sports. But be fair, I do feel like just from this side, pickleball has grown exponentially based on the fact that I've seen at least 2 or 3 courts go up in downtown Milwaukee and the surrounding areas.
And they're always packed. Always.
Yeah, every time there's it sounds really weird and creepy, but there's literally one under a bridge in downtown Milwaukee where they had just dead space, and they're like, hey, let's put a pickleball court here, and it's right across from the the market. And a lot of people
consider being a troll there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that's pickleball they're playing down there. I know I'm not going.
Oh my God. Okay. There, you would.
So
it is pickleball, Miller.
And why I find all this a little bit humorous with regard to pickleball and like disc golf, it's been around for a long time. It's just now gaining like this notoriety, because I think back in, I want to say it was 2006 or 2007, a gentleman approach the Wisconsin Senior Olympics, of which I sat on that board.
I remember you telling me.
And
this.
I was promoting disc golf to try and get disc golf into the Senior Olympics. And he came along and he was the disc golf guy of pickleball. Like, he was all pickleball. Dave Eisland, I still remember his name. And he told me about tournaments in Florida and Arizona. This was 2007. And there was, I think, literally a handful of states that even cared about what pickleball was. And now we've seen this explosion. So it is pretty.
I mean, there's like three different tours, pickleball tours, like professional pickleball tours.
Okay, so give us some expectations and thoughts going into this weekend. Like, give us the format. You say doubles, but what does the format mean? And like, what are entries? So
it's just a charity tournament, so it's not for fun. Like, we're trying to do well, but like, it's I think it was $20 a person or $40 a team. It's double elimination. There's different levels, so you can. I think it goes from a 2-5 all the way up to a 5, I think, or maybe there's players that are 5.5 now, but I'm around a 3-ish. I just started playing like in November, so like I don't have any racket sport background, so like that's not bad. The guy I'm playing with is like a 3-5, I think, or maybe a 4, like closer to a 4, but he's playing 3-5 and I'm gonna play, like, we're gonna average out and play in the 3-5 division and see how we do.
Okay, so right there, of course,
that's picked on the pickleball court a lot.
Well, that spurs so many more questions as you're throwing out these half numbers. Are
that's like their rating?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my question is, what do those mean in disc golf ratings? And then what's like the highest rating? You just said, I heard a 5.5. Is that the highest?
I think I'm still pretty new to all of this too, but I think a 5 was the highest, and now maybe a 5.5. They're like rating people higher, like a 5.25 or something. But it's mostly on who you're beating and how, like, if you're beating the people that you're projected to beat, I guess. Okay. I don't quite understand it. I honestly haven't done a lot of work to understand it. I just know where I am, so I knew where to enter this tournament.
I mean, the whole question of, and this, I love seeing this because I felt all the same way about racquetball a few years ago when I got introduced to it and got really involved. And then immediately, just like disc golf, like, okay, well, is there a racquetball league? Are there tournaments? Can I go play? Where would I, you know, rank myself? And how much does it cost? Do I have to be a national racquetball member, you know, like a PDGA member? All those questions come flooding in. And I think about, as you're just saying, like, is it assumed that whoever beats you this weekend is a sandbagger? I mean, is that just the automatic assumption?
That was my first question. I was like, how do they like keep people from sandbagging? Like, because I it seems like such a loose scale. So I wish I could speak more to that, like be more intelligent to all of that. But I honestly don't know. I just was trying to get where I was supposed to be. But I do know that we're playing people in the 3-5 division that are playing to win the 3-5 division, not because they're not rated technically closer to 4. Does that make sense? So like it kind of feels like sandbagging, but I don't know. I think maybe you have to win to like a division and not move up for it to be sandbagging.
Huh. Well, we're clearly going to need an updated report post pickleball tournament to get all the deets. Johnny, I see, has Googled pickleball.
Is this
going to
be live streamed anywhere that we can watch?
No, but you guys are more than welcome to come and do it. It's on Saturday, Daphne, Alabama.
Oh, I was just in Daphne. Wonderful. I was. Yeah. Daphne's enough. I stayed up in Daphne, which is right down by Fairhope.
Maybe I'll set up my old GoPro. Send all some footage.
Yes, please do. We will play it next week. I just did a quick search as the Pickleball World Championship purse money, just as a reference. And the 2019 Pickleball World Championships had a total purse of $100,000, the highest pickleball tournament payout to date. So you can,
and I can see how they have some money too, because pickleball shoes and pickleball rackets are expensive and you have to replace them regularly. So there's definitely going to be some big purses in the future in pickleball.
I was just going to say, like tennis and so many of those other, you got to assume there's going to be a manufacturer, then probably an official manufacturer, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then that's where we're going to largely gain our sponsorships. Now, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but per my introduction to pickleball with Dave Eisland 15 years ago, pickleball was 100% a senior-centric sport that's who was playing in it. It was taught maybe in Washington, where I think it originated, and in Minneapolis. It was played at a few, you know, in gym class and a few gym classes around the country. But for the most part, you're talking like 50 and 60 year olds and older was the key demographic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, how much is that changing? I mean, who are you seeing out there?
A lot. It's a lot. I mean, what's cool about pickleball is the place where I play in Daphne has six courts that are really nice, and it's always busy. And at any moment you can look around and there's people all the way from, you know, 9 years old up to like 80 years old. Like there's people of all ages playing and even mixed on one court. So, and like even one of the women that's like top five in the world right now is, I think, I don't know, she's like 14 years old or something. She's like super young. So it's a sport for all ages. It started out, I think, as a sport more targeted towards seniors because it's a smaller court and it's kind of chessy. Like it's more about being smart than it is about running around. So I think that's why it was popular with older people, but now it's definitely elevating. And it's, people are like, the tennis players are coming in and just absolutely dominating, and a lot of younger, really athletic players are coming in and changing the way the game is played. So yeah, I think it'll change a lot in the next couple of years.
Are you a member of the PPPA, the Pro Pickleball Player Association? I don't know if that's a real thing. No, I'm just guessing.
No, you don't have to be a member right now, from what I understand.
Okay.
It's more like you just have to enter tournaments and then you're entered. But no, I basically right now I just like it because you can just head to the core and just like beat up on old people all the time.
Nice. Which is what you're best at.
Poning old people. I like that.
I'm just kidding. No, the old people just absolutely destroy me. Like they're so good.
I remember.
I'm like running around like a crazy person, like sweating, and they're just like not even breaking a sweat, just like dominating.
I mean, I feel like there's of course you could probably say that about, you know, most of your net sports of that nature, but I feel like that was very much what I learned in racquetball, that it was more about placement and strategy than necessarily how quick or fast you were,
totally,
you know, to some degree, and then until you're evenly matched.
Racket control.
And it was funny because this gentleman that I met at the time, he like talk about an echo of what I was, his challenge was there weren't any courts. There were literally like only a handful of courts in all of Wisconsin at that time. And he was, you know, breaking down the size and where they could be implemented, how he could get funding for them and how popular it was and how it was growing. And now, like you're saying, there's pickleball courts everywhere. I think
the nice thing is I noticed in a little bit of research that I've done in the past, not just tonight, but a lot of tennis clubs are actually converting tennis courts to pickleball courts or double dipping.
Yes, definitely.
So maybe we should have done this 20 minutes ago, but for anyone who doesn't know what pickleball is and they're wondering what the hell are you talking about? Madison, can you want to break it down for all our viewers that are thinking like, what the hell are they keep talking about?
Yeah, so it's on like I play outdoor pickleball, but there's also indoor pickleball. You can play either on like a tennis court type substrate, or you can play indoors, usually on like a wooden basketball court type thing. The lines will be painted, or like a volleyball court. I prefer outdoor pickleball. It's a smaller court than tennis. It's kind of like a mixture between tennis and ping pong, but you're playing with a carbon fiber or like plasticky type paddle. It started out as a wooden paddle, but no one uses those anymore besides in introductory kits. And then you play with a wiffle ball. The outdoor ones have more holes and the indoor ones have less holes. So it's like indoor is a little bit faster, a little bit more active, whereas outdoor, it's like you're thinking about the wind and it's a little bit more smart, like based on being smart rather than being fast. But yeah, it's awesome. There's a area next to the net that you can't hang out in. So you can't just like go up to the net and just hammer it back and forth at each other. You have to be back from the net a little bit and you have to let it bounce on the serve and on the receive. And then after that, it's all kind of patterns. They call it working into your patterns on the pickleball court. So
have you played against Zach Melton yet?
Zach is actually who introduced me to pickleball.
Okay. He's played. Dickerson has played. Bobby and Robert McCall have played in doubles tournaments in the past.
Yep. that whole group got me into it. And I just, I met a guy here in Pensacola at a close friend's little backyard party. And I was like, oh yeah, I've just been trying to play pickleball. I play with my sister one-on-one occasionally, but we don't know what we're doing. He's like, oh, I'm obsessed. You should come out and play. And I have not been able to put my paddle down since. Like, I play all the time.
One of my big hesitations to getting into a racquetball tournament was the fact that I definitely didn't know all the rules. And I, again, I equate that to disc golf. You show up to your first tournament. Some overachievers will read the rule book, you know, front to back, maybe even become a certified official. And if they signed up for the PDGA and done all of that other stuff. And some people just show up and be like, whoops, I didn't know I couldn't do that. Where are you on the rules with pickleball? Do you feel like you got them all locked in?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got them locked in. The guy that I met, his name's Heath. He like is kind of like a coach personality. Like, he really likes teaching people stuff. So he has been kind of helping. And I want to get better, because in reality, the main reason is so that this year on tour, I can beat Zach on the pickleball court. I'm just kidding. No, I just really like it. He's been teaching me the ins and outs. That's who I'm playing with this weekend. And so I've been learning a lot of all the rules, and then a lot of strategy from Heath and then a lot of rec play. So yeah, I'm pretty hip to all the rules, and I watch a lot of pickleball on YouTube. So that's how I spend my time, my spare time.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Who is that you know of? Who's the best disc golfing pickleball player right now that we have that you know?
I would say probably me.
Nice. Wow. That's you're a throwdown.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're a 3-5?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not a 3-5. No, I think in pickleball, just like a lot of other sports, it really matters. If your reach really matters. Calvin's actually really good at pickleball. He played a couple times when he visited. I think Calvin's awesome. Zach, I haven't played with Zach in long enough to be able to tell whether he's good or bad, but he used to be really good. a couple of times Katrina and Austin came out, and I remember Katrina being good, like volleyball translated pretty well, because she used to play volleyball and she was pretty good on the pickleball court. I don't know who the best person is. We'll find out this year whenever I have a little more knowledge going into the court.
The pickleball throwdown. I'm excited.
I expect a side game at the DDO from everybody. So everyone's, you know, we'll stream it.
There will be. There will be lots.
Yeah, let us know. We'll stream that on like Tuesday afternoon or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of Katrina, can you tell the world where she's her sponsor? We didn't want to spoil it, so we figured you could just share it with everybody.
Yeah, I can give you all the details right now. No, I have no idea. I'm guessing as much as everybody else. I wish I knew.
Huh. Okay.
Like, honestly, I think it's crazy that it's like taken this long. I hope everything was okay as far as like figuring stuff out. It wasn't because of like problems, but, I'm excited to hear, you know, I'm sure her contract, I don't know if they're going to announce details of her contract, but I'm sure her contract will be pretty groundbreaking in FBO.
I hope so. It should be, but let's actually, now that we've kind of swung back into disc golf a little bit, MVP, you talked about a tour series disc. Do you have a disc picked out?
No, not yet.
She doesn't know what she's throwing next week.
I know she doesn't have discs yet,
I haven't even tested most of the molds, honestly. But I'm loving the servo right now. I've been throwing a lot of the plasma servo, which is a 6.5 speed driver. Love that.
Ooh, if you could just match your pickleball rating to that, you'd be set.
Oh, actually.
Have you ever used a disc as a pickleball racket?
Hence the servo.
Dude, that was such a bad joke.
Hence
so
the servo. I mean, come on. This is all too easy.
Let me write these down.
Multiple levels.
Yes, you can recycle those. I know how you feel about that.
So I'm liking I have them all right next to me. I like the servo a lot. I like the Hex. I'm loving the Hex. It is an Axiom mid-range. And I'm liking the Volt a lot.
Okay.
And let's see. The Virus. What an unfortunate name for a disc, though. But I do love the Virus.
Yeah.
And the Signal.
Okay. And then
the Signal is like a really flippy 6.5 speed driver, and it's so much fun to throw in the woods. But now, right now, I really just want backups to my servo and my Signal because I throw them all the time.
And now I know, again, this is still relatively recent, and you're hunting things down. But have you had conversations with other pros on MVP? I think of other FPO pros,
Sarah
obviously
Holcomb,
Elaine King. Mm-hmm. Have you had conversations with them yet? Have you?
No, they've all offered help for talking about molds, and that they're literally on my list to call tomorrow. I wanted to get the list together and have like a bunch of questions to ask before I just called people and were like, tell me about discs, because that's like a really overwhelming question.
Out of the Kansas City area, Kim and Nova, both MVP, I believe. So
yeah, they reach out to them. Quite active.
I talked to Jessica Oleski. I have a local in my area named Britt who throws MVP. So yeah, they're coming out of the woodworks and being very helpful.
All those gyro heads.
Mm-hmm. Love the gyro head.
We'll make it a thing if it's not already.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. And then obviously, I mean, I think ahead to the MVP Open, and you know, such an iconic place to be. And then the way MVP has become the title sponsor out there at Steve's property. I don't know if that'll make it feel any more special. I don't know how you can make that event and place feel any more special than it already is, but that should be exciting as well.
Yep. It is very exciting, and like it does make it a little bit more special.
Awesome. All right, Mads. Well, I think that's all we got for you now, this time, maybe.
You're finally bored with me?
Well, I mean, we've got a long time. I've got secret MVP news I can't share. So.
What? Oh, yeah,
so
stuff
do
she
I.
doesn't even know. Oh, okay, tell us.
Yeah, you can share it.
We're here. We're here.
I can't. I'm not allowed to.
Yes,
me neither.
It's just us. It's just us here. It's the two of us plus an owl.
I literally signed an NDA in the air and said I wouldn't say anything. So
I didn't sign an NDA in the air, but I
did. The person I was talking to made me sign an NDA in the air. So
no, but there's going to be exciting MVP stuff.
There is some great MVP news coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and then as I did get a quick update, someone said that the sponsorship for Katrina was delayed because a whole bunch of the merchandising and stuff that they did up for her was spelled with her last name A-L-A-N. They spelled Alan wrong.
Oh,
so they had to.
Oh, my God.
They had to delay things largely because of that. So
what are they going to do with all that?
I don't know, because I made all that up. That's not true. All right.
Madison, don't ever believe anything he ever says.
Never.
Like, I just don't understand why you would make up a lie that dumb, Terror Bear.
Because you believe it.
You totally believe it.
I know, but you guys all, you already know I'm gullible. It's not like it's like the cake is too easy to get to right now.
If there was a fish that would buy that hook, line, and sinker, what fish would that have been, Madison?
Oh my
What's the
gosh.
Most gullible fish?
A mad dog fish. God.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe I just believed you. I really can't stand myself sometimes.
Well, join the club. All right. Well, we encourage everyone. We got to see Madison play again, pre-MVP. Check out the Jubilee. Also, you know, you were there largely to show support for other FPO competitors, and that was talked about within the video. Also, the winner, I guess I won't spoil, the winner went on to also talk about you know, everything that went into being at that event, and certainly commend you for all of your support and your inclusion that you spoke of earlier, and we're hoping to see a little bit more love shared around throughout the entire disc golf community. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is MVP Madison.
Madison, thank you for joining the show, regardless of Terry. We appreciate it.
I know. Why? Every time I regret it. And not only because of Terry, not because of you, Johnny V. Or I'm sure the Smashies are being really nice. You guys are always so nice.
They are.
They are. You're welcome back any week, except for next week. Every week.
No, next week I want to hear about her pickle tournament.
We need an update.
Oh, yeah. I'll be coming at you with the GoPro footage.
Like the first GoPro 4 or something.
No, it's probably an original GoPro.
Yeah.
Is it mounted on a helmet right now?
I don't even have a GoPro. I lied.
Oh my God. How did I believe that? You probably do mount it on a helmet somewhere. You should go put a helmet on. Oh, all right, Madison, we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us tonight, seriously.
Thank you,
look forward to seeing you hopefully somewhere on the road in the next couple of weeks.
All on tour. Follow Madison Walker.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thank you guys for having me. You too.
Thanks, awesome. Madison.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Madison Walker, one of my most favorite and most gullible people on tour.
Oh, Mads. Well, thank you so much for Madison joining us tonight. She wasn't the only person that's been talking a little bit about contracts. As we alluded to, of course, Katrina Allen will see an announcement from her tomorrow with her name spelled correctly, I'm sure. But also, Cynthia Ricciotti, we saw her make an announcement, right?
Yeah, she made a move a week or two ago. She said that she wouldn't be with Dynamic Discs anymore, and I'm not going to call this a shocker, but she has moved over to Discmania, where she will be one of, I think, on the tour series. I'm not 100% or tour team. I'm not
tour team. Tour is team. The official title.
Yes, the tour team. So Cynthia moving over to Discmania. As many of you probably know, her and Kyle are currently dating, and Kyle is also on Discmania, although she did say that she had been speaking with Discmania since before she had, met Kyle or was dating Kyle. So either way, congratulations to Cynthia. I'm excited to see Discmania's FPO side continue to grow over here in the States.
Yeah, and funny, I was just actually reading an Innova sponsored female said she was a little surprised to see that she claimed that Discmania sponsored females, which of course they have. It has not been nearly as deep as what you've seen obviously on an MPO side.
Yeah, I think a while ago they used to sponsor Hannah Macbeth,
mm-hmm.
and Ella Hansen is currently sponsored on their, I don't know if it's their tour team or highest level team, whatever that team is. I'm sorry, Discmania, I don't know your teams. And now Cynthia Ricciotti. So congratulations.
Okay. This weekend, I'm going to give a quick heads up. Going to be heading back to Arizona. I was just there a couple weeks ago for the Shelly Sharp. And just because I want to take one for the team, I will leave Wisconsin. I will head to Arizona. I will deal with that sunshine just for you guys.
I hope you get sunburnt.
I'm sure I will.
I know you will.
I think that's a given. But I will deal with that. I will suffer through at least 3 days of it to go to Maricopa, where I am super excited. I believe it's the 9th annual Maricopa Open. I think I've been there for probably 6 or 7 of them, maybe even 7 or 8 of them. But super excited to head over there. Get to spend some time with Amy Jo and Hav, a couple of Michigan transplants that have been my hosts there for many years. And they're going to be three rounds played. I believe it's the first round at the Copper Sky course, and then the next two rounds will be played at a stretched out Maricopa Meadows course. So I am very much looking forward to that this upcoming weekend. You guys will see some post-production all out on the Disc Golf Guy channel. And then obviously, as I just mentioned, plenty of action from the Jubilee, which was posted. Next up, we've got some Bay County Kickoff that's going to be coming up on my channel here in a little while as well. What else do we see in the news? Anything on the DGPT or PDGA or any other bodies?
Yeah, I don't feel like I need to talk about PDGA. They have their own podcast now.
Oh, that's right.
Like, I don't even need to talk about, you know, the PDGA Senior Player of the Year, Jim Olson Sr., or the episode 2 of Disc Golf Rules School. If you want some awesome disc golf information, I already have something for you.
Oh, what?
I have a video from Ace Run Productions.
No, you don't.
I do, with Brian
Schleberger. They shared that?
They shared that with us, and we are going to share it with the world. Why doesn't everybody just sit back for just a few minutes and listen to Ace Run Productions do this fantastic one disc, one tip with Brian Schleberger?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the channel. We've got another one disc, one tip segment for you, the first of our 2022 season. And we brought one of the most prolific winners of all time, Mr. Brian Schwebe Schwaber.
How you doing?
You're good. So Brian, you are a legend in the sport, over 300 wins. Any one or any few that stand out to you overall?
Not any specific one. I mean, maybe U.S. Masters in 2013. First time I ever won a tournament that Climo was in, and to beat him and win a tournament at the same. I beat him a bunch of times, but to actually win the event and beat him at the same tournament was definitely a milestone for me.
I can definitely see that. You've thrown quite a different array of discs. You're with Innova. I know you throw some discs that are like 20 years old. But how long have you been playing the sport of disc golf overall?
Since 97, so like 25-ish years. Around 25 years, yep.
So quite a history, like we said, you're still with Innova. Going through your bag, if there was one disc in your bag that you think can fit anybody's game and can make a difference in their game, what disc would that be?
The Shark. You'll see it in most starter packs that Innova has. I mean, I think it's a great versatile disc. It's great for beginners. You learn to throw it straight, and that's what it's meant to do. And I throw them mainly because it takes me so long to beat up a rock to get it to turn over. Yes. The Shark, a couple trees, and it's already in that state. So, yeah, I love the Shark.
That's refreshing to hear because, that, like you said, that's more of a beginner feel disc. But obviously, it's been working for you for a very long time. You're making it do magic out there on the course.
It was my first disc I ever had to.
Well, good reason to have it in the bag. So check out a Shark for sure. And now switching gears, like we said, you're a wealth of knowledge. If you can kind of impart some of that knowledge, any one tip that you think can help anybody from beginner up to pro on mental side, on physical side, anything you can think of?
I got something real easy.
Okay.
When it's a raining round and it's wet out, learn to putt with wet putters. You don't have to worry about drying them off. If you can learn to putt with them wet, it's such a pain to get the disc to feel right in a rain round. Yeah. So learning to putt with your discs wet is a huge advantage.
So go out when it's raining and practice. Yeah. Get used to that.
Or I've seen Ricky Wysocki do this. He has a bucket of water at all his discs in it, and he'll just putt with the disc right out of the bucket. And just, yeah.
That's definitely one we haven't heard of before, so that's a great tip to share. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And Brian, take a moment. Thank any of your sponsors, and how can anybody follow along on social media to see what you're up to?
You can follow me on Instagram at TheSchwebe. I gotta thank Innova Champion Discs. Been my sponsor for 20 years now, and can't thank them enough. They're awesome.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again, Brian, for taking the time to do this. As always, Smashbox, thank you so much for airing these segments, and from all of us at Ace Room Productions, let's run it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Of course, we know that Schwebe is frequently lurking out there on the boards when he's
not winning.
Yeah, the only time he takes time to go out and watch Smashbox is when he's not winning a tournament. It's either doing one or the other, it feels like. So thank you over at Ace Run Pro.
I like that tip, the throw with wet putters. I think it's so many people, you know, when you've played as many tournaments as we have, you watch so many people try to dry a disc and then just walk out into the rain and then their hand is slippery anyway.
Yep.
If you can just get it mostly dry and it's still a little bit wet, if you can get used to that, that's a great tip.
Yeah, and then I'll go along with that, and even though it somewhat contradicts it, I would say make sure that not only do you have enough towels, I think that's probably obvious, put your towels into Ziploc bags.
Freezer bags, the big ones.
Yeah, put them in there and then put them in your bag. And here's the best part, is not only is it going to keep it dry if it starts to rain or anything like that, you'll probably inevitably find another use for that Ziploc bag at some time or another to keep either something else dry or to store trash in or whatever. Yeah, keep your towels in one or two different Ziploc bags as well and then put them into your bag. That would be the follow-up.
I always kept two bags with about three kind of smaller towels in each bag, and then inevitably, whatever I was using to dry my hand, I mean, back in the day it was a birdie bag, but whatever your choice of rosin or whale sack or whatever that is, put that in like usually a smaller Ziploc bag, but inside that bigger bag. Just bags inside of bags inside of bags.
But get recyclable only ones that Madison has offered to you. Because those are special ones. All right. So lots of questions. Some people are asking about the All-Star Weekend. I think the format was posted, but I'm going to be the first to admit I did not read it.
So
I figured I'd learn it sometime before I started commentating on it.
Well, that's overrated.
You know the format, Johnny.
Mostly.
Drop that knowledge.
Drop the knowledge. The format is going to be 12 MPO and 12 FPO. We're going to have two team captains from each division that are going to pick teams playground style. And there's going to be
awkward.
That's the whole point. They're going to have a skills competition. So you're going to have a putting competition. You're going to have a distance competition with accuracy and a shot shaping competition. So you need to bend. There's also going to be a singles competition and a doubles competition. So when you pick your teams, you need to kind of take all those factors into account. The FPO captains are Paige and Kat, and the MPO captains are Eagle and Calvin. Those are the highest ranked, so to speak, seeded players from each division. As we know, we heard that Paul wasn't planning on playing, and that still is the case. But then Ricky finalized his decision not to play yesterday or the day before, I believe.
I mean, I heard he appeared as if he was on the fence, but now he made it definitive?
He made it definitive. He is not going to play. Instead, he was going to just get warmed up for LVC with his new plastic.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So this is kind of the thing. It's a lot of people are comparing it to the NBA All-Star game, which would make sense, knowing that I think Mo came up with this decision and how it would work. I haven't watched the NBA All-Star game in a few years, so I don't know how that works. But yeah, but apparently it is very similar in vein to that.
Hmm.
What was the last NBA All-Star game you watched?
I don't even know.
Was Jordan still playing?
I was going to say, like, clearly one of the, you know, components of the All-Star Weekend largely was based around the slam dunk competition and or the
three-point
competition.
I always loved the three-point competition.
And, yeah, I can't say that the actual game, it just seems...
It was all offense. There was no defense. It was more of a showcase. And then they tried to make it where... Was it?
Well, it carried some significance.
It carried some significance for something, and I know baseball tried to make it where home field advantage was
for the playoffs or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It bores you just thinking about it.
It bores me thinking about it. I don't know.
I think the larger question that really is here is, like a Ricky, will you find players opt out of these opportunities if they, quote unquote, don't need the status, don't necessarily need the money? I think I saw someone post and say, well, I don't believe it. This is crazy. Like, a weekend in Tucson, I'm there. I'm all over it. Well, yeah. If you're
not a millionaire.
Exactly. And so
I hate to say it that way. But.
And I was just saying to our good friend Mike Schwieger earlier tonight, like, yeah, things have changed. What would entice and win over a player's favor and get them to an event even 5 years ago is very different than what it does today.
But we've also seen in other sports, and we talked all about this last week, you know, the NFL, half the players don't even play in the Pro Bowl. Because it is just an exhibition, and why risk yourself getting hurt or anything like that in any sort of competition based when really you make your bones on the course on the DGPT. That's where you want to focus. And now that there's no national tour, so to speak, it becomes the tour. So a couple other sponsorships that we wanted to kind of just briefly bring up. We saw Linus Carlson. He signed with Latitude 64 overseas. Cameron Kohlglaser signed on with Infinite Discs. And I think he like won a tournament with I thought I saw someone say he picked up discs literally like 10 minutes before the event and won the event with the discs.
God, so that would be crazy to watch that on a... Like on a post-production round of golf, like on a channel.
Yeah. Does someone have that maybe that you know? Somebody might have that.
Like my channel.
Oh, yeah. So there's that. Did we miss any other
And I'm not sure if all the details are announced with regard to Cameron. I know he, it was announced him with Infinite Disc. I think he has some more specifics that are going to unfold with that if it hasn't been out there. So just for being at the risk of not knowing for sure if it's officially out there, I won't say anything. But you're going to see additional sponsor announcements from him if we haven't already. So,
and then the only other thing was, this is not a sponsor change. We saw it today. Announcement that Ben Calloway was promoted to the top Discraft team, so he's going to get a tour series disc, and he if you saw the announcement, he's the only guy that's actually looking at the camera for his picture. If you look at all the other Discraft announcements, all the pictures were all of them looking down at their hands or the discs. For some reason, he's got this very much I'm standing at attention.
Fits
him.
Ben,
honestly,
looking at me, I'm good.
I know. You get a little starry-eyed for Ben.
I do. Such a great guy, and excited to see all of his successes. And really, I know we've said it before, but that's one thing that we're seeing from the likes of the Pro Tour and just the additional exposure is a guy who Johnny and I have known literally for over a decade as very much a really solid regional professional,
a dominant regional,
and then to see him jump onto the national stage, to be able to jump into the tour life, and then to watch him remain being successful even at the higher levels, like, doesn't surprise us, but it's also still really empowering and exciting to see it when it unfolds that way. So yeah, very, very excited for anything that comes Ben's way.
And the biggest news in disc golf, I don't know if it gets much bigger than this, Terry. Skip Ace released their new format.
Oh,
they opened up
for
the 2022 season. I know you were dying to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy who runs it, extremely handsome, smart.
Ben Calloway does that, too.
Yeah, he does. No, I'm just kidding. So if you're interested in fantasy disc golf, that's right, just like any other fantasy sports, mm-hmm. you can go to skipace.com. There are leagues to sign up for. You can play for free. You can pay to have some custom rules. I give away prizes pretty much every week for certain things. I think the very first week of the season, the LVC, I'm going to give away, not this particular one, but a Dickerson ESP Buzz will be up for grabs if you're interested. This one is going to another gentleman who bought it. So if you're interested, go ahead, skipace.com. You can sign up and play. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. I've been answering questions for the last 2 days on little things here and there, questions that people have. So that's about it.
All right. Make sure you check it out.
I figure you promote all your stuff every run. I can take.
Yeah, but my stuff's useful.
2 minutes.
Of course. No. If you're into that fantasy stuff, which I know some of you freaks are,
lots of stats guys,
get out there and set up your own custom league. You think will there be 100 custom leagues?
There were last year.
Okay.
There was around that. This year we're charging $10 for a custom league.
Okay.
And that's going to include things like being able to add your own events. Any, if you want to do local events, let's say you don't want to play by, with just the Pro Tour, you wanted the Wisconsin Tour events, you could do that with the players. It'll give you automatic alternates. So, for instance, if one of your player DNFs or doesn't show up, you'll get the next person in based on rating on the player list. So if you had, let's just say Ricky Wysocki didn't show up, and the next person under him is Paul or Calvin or Dickerson. I don't know what the ratings are these days. You would automatically get that player. And so that's why we're charging the $10 fee just to create the league. It's not $10 per person. It's just $10 to create the league itself. And then you can have as many people as you want play for the redraft leagues. And this year, like I said, we're doing I think we talked about it before, the yearly draft leagues where you have a draft room. Actually, I think, I think I might right here, something along these lines where I'm going to see if I can bring this up. I don't know if, is it in here? Yeah, there it is. So you can see it on here where, your draft room, just like any traditional fantasy football. Right now, Ryan Pilcher's the only guy signed up in this league. I had him sign up so he can show. You can add people to favorites. You can see your team, the recent moves, league manager stuff, and a list of players, all pulled right from the PDGA. So some of them even have pictures. If you're a pro player, please go to the PDGA and add your picture in there. It'll be fun for us so we can see what you're doing. But yeah, those draft leagues, and you keep a team, you can add and drop players throughout the season, all that fun stuff, all on skipace.com if you're interested.
Yeah, and I think speaking to the adding your profile picture, so to speak, to your PDGA profile, we see a lot of the pictures come from UDisc throughout the year, and I think a lot of people have forgot or have neglected to put theirs on. But as you're seeing more and more tournaments and references to your PDGA and your stats and your standing, that's a great marketing opportunity yet again. I've seen some really good pictures out there. So just know you can absolutely update that out there on PDGA.com. Of course, we're here in January. We know things are heating up. There's registrations that are filling in seconds, all that typical stuff that we have problems with due to the growth. But go out, renew your PDGA membership. You can do so. It takes just a few minutes. And the reason why I want to throw this in now is because inevitably, when you get to a tournament and it's about to release registration at 8 p.m. and you're sitting at your desk and it's 7:59 and you're ready to go, that's one less thing that you either may get hung up on or have to deal with, is your PDGA renewal or paying the extra $10 and getting a refund later. Just get your PDGA membership taken care of.
Or if you can, sign up for multiple years.
Yeah, that's another good way to go about it. Get it taken care of. When you're rolling in that Skip Ace money, you're just shilling off the top, putting it all, giving it to the PDGA. I don't think you're doing it right then, Johnny. Okay. Ken says he's been out there and a huge Skip Ace participant and supporter from day one. So appreciate that, Ken.
Yeah, Ken was one of the first people to sign up.
All right. I had one other thing that now has totally slipped my mind. So I think that means we can start heading into the after show where we'll have other random topics and conversations to be had. That's what I was going to say. And maybe we'll say it again later. But also, I think as recently as last night, it was released. Great video put out by Paige and Alyssa. They have created a new YouTube channel. And this one is pretty much focused on their life in Florida,
their personal house.
Yeah, more personal stuff. As Paige said, there'll be some disc golf chatter, but that is by no means the main focal point of the channel.
As well as her new podcast, she's out there.
That too. So I make sure you go check it out. I thought they had an incredible video. I expect nothing less when the two of them are at the helm of doing the edits, but. Yes, please go check that out. Subscribe to their channel, all that good stuff. But I did watch the entire video, and I thought, what an honor. They talked about hosting people, being able to have people at their place, and I feel very honored that I was one of the few people that have already had the opportunity to visit and hang out with them for a night. So thank you guys so much for being hosts. I got the master bedroom. It was so fancy. It was great. All right, guys, we're going to close things out right now. Of course, we're going to then get into an after show. That is your opportunity to even more so interact, chat, ask questions via the chat boards. Hopefully, we can answer anything that you have there or other topics that may or may not be disc golf related. We really don't care. Somehow, we were doing owl calls earlier. So if that's a sign of what could come in the after show, I don't know what is. But we hope that you can join us. We're going to send one more time a big thanks over to Madison Walker, MVP's newest player. Congratulations to her. Congratulations
future
to
future pickleball champion.
MVP, and yes, her and Heath better be pickleball champions by this time next week. We'll make sure to give you an update. We're going to sign off for now. We're going to stand down for just a few moments, roll some credits, then we'll come back with the after show. This has been Podcast 387 for Madison Walker, Johnny V, and myself, Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. We'll see you in the after show. You step inside the Smashbox.
Thank you to our $2 and above patrons. Your name is listed below in the credits. If you are interested in being listed as a producer in the Smashbox TV credits and supporting this and other fine podcasts, please visit patreon.com/smashboxtv.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.